Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Inner Spark Radio. I'm your host, Lena Gazarian, and you can learn more about our upcoming shows and archive shows at innersparkradio.com, on Blog Talk Radio, on iTunes, and also on Facebook. And today I'm really excited to have Liana Shaouli as our guest, as I know all of us can relate to and benefit from today's topic, which is transforming your personal style to attract success and self-confidence. So let me introduce Liana. Over the past 2 decades, Liana Shaouli has developed the theory and practice of image therapy, an educational and therapeutic process today taught worldwide. She's the president and founder of Image Therapists International, Inc., and a globally recognized thought leader, style expert, and educator. Ms. Shaouli provides transformation through the empowerment of wardrobe. She has spent 2 decades consulting CEOs, celebrities, and political figures on matters of self-image. She is also a go-to expert for numerous news sources as an image and personal stylist and appears on major TV and radio shows. She authors articles in international, national, and regional magazines and addresses corporate groups, associations, and trade conventions on the impact of appearance on individual and corporate performance. And she is also the best-selling author of You Are a Masterpiece, How to Dress, I have to apologize. I just wrote this quickly and I can't. How to Dress, we'll have Liana talk about her book. I can't read my own writing, but you can learn more. Sorry, you can learn more about Liana and her work and her book and everything. And she's got wonderful, a lot of YouTube videos, actually, that I really enjoyed on her website, which is imagetherapists.com. So welcome, Liana. And please, would you tell us about your book, a little bit about your book?
I'm so proud of it. First of all, thank you so much for having me here, Lena. I'm delighted to have this conversation with you and pour into your listeners so that they can walk away with the dream that I have for every man and woman that listens to this, to provide transformation through the empowerment of wardrobe. And that takes on many different forms. Yes, and I'm happy to share with you about my book because I'm very proud of it. It's called You Are a Masterpiece, and the tagline is How to Dress a More Powerful and Authentic You, because that's what it's actually all about. Authenticity is a beautiful currency that we don't give enough credence to these days, you know? A lot of us think that, okay, well, I'm going to tell the truth and then I'm going to be authentic. But authenticity has something to do with showing up in the world as we are, with our warts and our faults and our joy and our laughter, and not twisting ourselves into a pretzel so someone else will like us.
Yeah.
Whether that's fashion or clothing or a man or a woman, to just be authentically you, you know, with all the wonder of who you are.
Yeah, and that's really beautiful. And I got that from watching, in particular, one of your videos when you were at a big convention or trade show or something big that was filmed. And I got to see that it's actually, your work is really heart-centered work. Yeah, and it's really about aligning the inside and outside, and to be more authentic. And it was really nice to watch you work with people. So let's find out a little bit more about image therapy. I have my first question is like 3 questions in 1. So are you ready?
Go ahead.
Okay. So first, what is image therapy and why is it important? And then what's the difference between an image therapist and an image consultant? And then third, if you would just share with us a bit about how you found your way into this work, or how this work found you.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, so let's talk about the first thing. What is image therapy? And you know, what's the difference between an image consultant and an image therapist?
Mm-hmm.
And the that's a really great question, because most people go image therapist, you know, what is that? And so what that is the understanding that you are a multifaceted, amazing masterpiece. Every human being is a masterpiece exactly the way they are. And that masterpiece, our soul happens, and our spirit happens to live in a body. So we are unable, thank God, to detach the brain and the body and the essence and the spirit and the psychological structure and the feeling world and everything that that we are. We don't detach it. It's all about who we are.
Mm.
So you are your voice, you are your gait, you are the way you kiss your lover, you are the sound of your voice, which is very different, though, when you talk, because you're a very different person, right? But if you happen to have that kind of voice, and you happen to have a very large-scale body, let's say like Queen Latifah, there are different facets to who you are. And all those facets are part of your structure, your style architecture, the essence of who you are. Because you don't show up with just your voice or just your body or just your gaze or just the way you move or just the way you talk. You show up as a three-dimensional, living, breathing, moving masterpiece. And an image consultant would say to you, yes, you should wear yellow because it's in fashion. Or they say, well, you can do this because it's, you know, corporate. And then I realized a long time ago, I said, you know what, none of this has anything to do with anything. Like, if I have legs that do not really look amazing in a miniskirt, you know what, I can't wear a miniskirt. I can wear other things. So where is that blueprint, and how do we find that blueprint? So I decided to create image therapy, because I realized that the body and the mind and the essence and the words and the language we use, all of that needed to be reflected. And the way to do that was to take image consulting and to take the domain of therapy and put those domains together and create image therapy. Because our second skin, which is what our clothes are, is always that wherever you go, there you are. And you can choose to show up in the world completely visible and completely seen, or you can use your clothing as armor. Most of the world doesn't know that. And when they find out and they realize that they're using their clothing as armor and as protection from the outside world, because all we've been, the way most of us has been treated has been with criticism and with judgment. You know, most of us have a very difficult time standing naked in front of a mirror and saying, I love every single piece of my body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what image therapy is about. It's about the acceptance of what is, and up-leveling our assets instead of, you know, focusing on our flaws. You may have read that on my website where I say, be proud of your assets, not ashamed of your flaws.
Yeah, yeah. It's really
and
nice.
To answer the third part of your question is how did I get there? You know, many years ago I was, actually you're asking about image consulting. I was the keynote speaker at a convention for image consultants. And my mother happened to be in the room because she had never, you know, I was 10 years into my career. She had never heard me speak. And she's like, I want to come. I said, okay, Mom, come. My relationship with my mother, hence the therapy for most of us, my relationship wasn't that great. I'm the oldest of three, you know, the physical attributes of who I am, young girl, getting older very quickly. At 10, I was already out there. I was, you know, so mothers and daughters also have very difficult relationships often, especially as the firstborn.
Mm.
And she was there. She was in the room. She's like, I've never heard you speak. I want to come. I'm like, okay. So she's in the room. I don't realize she's part of the crowd. And she gets up at the microphone when I say, whoever has a question, please go up. And she's the one that goes up. And I hear her talk, and I cringe. Because I wonder what is going to come out of my mother's mouth. And
yeah.
She was lovely. And she said, I don't have a comment, but I don't have a question, but I have a comment. And what I want to share with you is, when I was a young woman, I was very ill and I was in bed. And my young girl, my daughter of 3 years old, would go into the closet and she would break the hanger, get the dress, get the shoes, get the scarf, get everything, lay it all out on the bed that I was lying in, pull the covers off my head, and whisper in my ear, Mommy, get dressed in your beautiful clothes, because when you get dressed, you're going to feel so great. And then we can go out and have fun together. And she said, I was so ill that I could not follow my daughter's invitation to get dressed. And I know what I'm talking about, because the same little girl that dressed me when I was ill in bed is the woman who taught you how to dress today. And I know how amazing she is, because I was her first client when she was 3 years old.
Wow. That's beautiful. And go ahead, yes.
Why do I do what I do? Because I know that inside every man and every woman, there's a desire that the connection from the inside and the essence of who we are and the outside of our second skin, they're symbiotically related. Like, I knew very early on in my life, you put on beautiful things and make yourself feel good, because dressing is an embodied action. It's not about looking good. It's about feeling great. And I don't care if you're a size 2 or a size 22. It's about the feeling. You know, when you slide a cashmere sweater over your head and it slides down your naked body, dressing is a sensual embodied act. It's like making love. It's like eating. It's a sensual experience. But most of the world doesn't ever get to experience it that way, because it's attached to so much negative language, and I'm fat and my boobs are sagging and my ass is too big and my this and my that. And, you know, men have the same kind of conversations. It's not just women.
Yeah.
So I could go on for a week telling you why I created this and not be finished with my reasoning. But the most important reason is that I believe that world peace is not achieved at the corners and the edges of our country, but it's achieved in our own hearts. If I can make peace with myself and show up in my environment, in my tribe, in my community as someone who has self-love and requires self-honoring and can actually apply that and has self-scribing, then I can show up as a role model. You can show up as a role model, which is a ripple effect that goes through your community, and people are going to want to be with you, which is my biggest goal, is to have people in my life live their life by attraction rather than promotion.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice. And that's what I was saying earlier. Your work is very heart-centered. Although we're dealing with the outside, but the way you describe it, it's very rich, you know, and that leads me to want to ask you then about also how clothes affect our own thinking, which you were kind of touching on there. But for example, you know, what about when we're wearing sort of older clothes at home, when we're at home, or we wear sweatpants or yoga pants when we go out and run errands, you know?
My favorite subject.
How does that affect us? And also, how does it affect our sex lives? And
My God. So how does it affect? The way we do anything is the way we do everything. You know, it's not like if I'll give you an example. I have this exercise that I tell my clients to do. I say, look, it's between you and God. If no one knows, no one ever knows. No one will ever find out if you made your bed. But you know who's going to know? You will. No one will ever know if your bra strap is being held together by a safety pin. Unless you have a lover and you get undressed and the lover sees the safety pin. But you know. I don't care if the rest of the world knows. And the way you know is the way that it shows up on your face. Between you and spirit, there is a diminishment. You know, there's like, oh, God, yeah, you know what? I didn't take a shower this morning, or I didn't make my bed. It has nothing to do with anyone knowing. It is that we go to a place of being out of integrity for our own up-leveling. Mm-hmm. Is that really what you want to do? No. Why would you want to do that? And it has something to do with integrity. It has something to do, and clothes are just a toolbox. You know, I always say your closet is a toolbox. And most of you don't even have closets. Most of you have orphanages to begin with. There's all these pieces that don't go together, that don't have mothers and brothers and sisters, and definitely they don't have shoes to match. So is that what you want? And the other part of it is, and I know that you're laughing, but the other part of it is that when it comes to integrity of self, you know, it's like you set the alarm clock and then you say, oh, tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, I'm going to go running. And then the alarm goes off, and then you're tired, and you don't feel like it, which is what a lot of people say. Yeah. And I would say, you know what, I really don't care how you feel. Stand to your commitment of up-leveling who you are. Do your paperwork even if you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Get dressed even though you don't feel like it. You know, Liana, it's going to take so long. And then I have to just go take my stuff to the cleaners. And then I have to pick it up. I'm like, do you have any idea how privileged you are and blessed to be dressed? That's what I call it. Mm. Do you know how many people don't have clothes in their closet? And it's like difficult for you to honor this beautiful body that God has created for you? How dare you not live in all your talent and all your amazingness? Because that, in my world, is like spitting into the face of God or into the face of your creator or into the face of nature.
Mm.
We don't have the luxury to diminish ourselves and play small. That's what I believe.
So you think that a lot of that's coming, the lack of integrity, you know, the going, being okay with having a bra strap pinned together with a safety pin, et cetera, is comes down to how we think, what we think we deserve. Would you?
Mm-hmm. It comes down to mediocrity. It comes down to this is just good enough.
Good enough.
Most people will live in mediocrity, you know, because living above 50% takes, what do you think it takes?
Commitment. Effort.
Commitment. It takes effort. It takes concern. It takes integrity. It takes all of these things that we can get very lazy around.
Yeah.
You know? But living an amazing, expanded life takes commitment, and it takes, and what happens through the integrity of self-commitment and commitment to others and commitment to a vision, there is a freedom of self-expression that happens that other people want to be around. And the truth of all of this, and why do we do image therapy, and why do we show up in the world authentically to who we are? It's like really simple. We are animals. We are tribal animals. We don't do well living on a mountain all by ourselves. We're connected, you know? And so when we have the opportunity to step up to a level where we become beacons of strength and integrity and love and compassion and understanding, and we also show the world our authentic, vulnerable self that's like, you know what, I really am so tired. I have just worked 2 shifts. I have 4 children at home. I don't have the money. I don't know how to do this. There's a reality also that hits, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And within the context of that, I'm still going to do the best that I can. I don't give up and allow mediocrity to be the flow of my river.
Yeah, it's sort of like a line. It sounds like it's a line, too, between being careful not to hit ourselves over the head with perfectionism, but like you said, doing the best we can within the frame of where we are at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, up-leveling from where we are, yeah.
Yeah, and so perfectionism is not what I'm talking about.
No.
Absolutely not. There is nothing that I consider of this work being perfectionism. I consider you're a size 18, this is where your body is today, in this moment. Or you're a size 2, or you're a size 12, or you're dyslexic, or you don't have a high school education, or whatever the circumstances that you are in this very moment, I want to pick you up where you're at, and all I want to do is give you wings to up-level your life to a higher height.
Yeah. Nice.
Now, you can decide where you are. You can be at that level and then look up and decide to look up, or you can decide to use your language to look down. So which one is it going to be? And that is the part that's a choice. So if you're standing in the closet and you choose a dirty, filthy T-shirt where the stains don't come out, you've washed it over and over again, and you're choosing to put that T-shirt back in your closet, and that's what you pull out, and then you wonder why you haven't made love to your husband in 6 months, then I say to you, I love you, I care about you, and you're not allowed to do that to my client.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Trader Joe's, buy a beautiful candle for $4, get yourself a T-shirt from Target. It doesn't have to be Barney's or Macy's. It could just be beautiful in color. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The connection to yourself and the up-leveling only takes noticing and consciousness. It doesn't take money.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
What I'm inviting you to do is to become honorable to who you are through this process of image therapy, to notice the most beautiful masterpiece that you've been given. You know, not to talk to yourself. I always say that, you know, most women don't need a bad husband or boyfriend in their bed because they're doing a perfectly fine job of beating themselves up.
Oh, yeah. Just go to any dressing room in a department store and you can hear friends talking to each other, and it's amazing.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Yes, it's sad. It's so sad. When a client comes to me, it's either in a workshop or a VIP session here in my office, and they say, you know, I can't do that. My ass is too big, or I can't, my boobs are blah, 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 or I've had stretch marks. I say, you're not allowed to talk about my client like that. And it chucks them into the reality of, what language am I using? You know, mm-hmm. because I believe, Lana, this is the foundation of all this work, is that language is creation. The future doesn't live out there somewhere around the corner or in the next month. The future lives in this moment to what I am choosing to put language to and declare into the world.
Yeah.
And that's where I have choice. That's where you have choice.
And by doing that,
go ahead.
By doing that with your clients, I could see where, I mean, awareness is the first step. So it's so habituated, right, that we don't even realize how much we're criticizing ourselves. So it's great to have the outside, you know, you bringing it to their awareness. Or we can start to bring it to our own awareness about just how often we have those thoughts, and then start to, you know, shift that conversation with ourselves. But it can be very habituated and not easy to even know how much we're doing it, really, right?
Right, because when I invite you to notice, I call that the process of feeling the insides of your eyelids. You know, we don't get quiet enough so we can actually be in our body. And if we continue to live with the brain detached from the body and not noticing how our bodies are yearning for love and connection and are yearning for grace, and our bodies are yearning to be with one another, and our bodies are yearning to be paid attention to in a way that's honoring. You know, dressing is a privilege. To dress ourselves, you know, we live in a culture where we're dressing and adoration of the body is privilege. And when the body doesn't get what it needs, meaning it doesn't get fed or it doesn't get loved or it doesn't get touched or it doesn't get connection, then it's going to show. So image therapy, not just the process of dressing, image therapy is the PhD in design of who we are, so we can notice what we need and bring it to our world through a sense of grace, not through a sense of lack.
Yeah. That's nice. I mean, I'm already inspired now, honestly, to really up level and the way I think about clothing and myself in the world. And I want to just segue this into also color versus black, because I think this is relevant to what you're talking about. So why not wear too much black? What happens with that? And I think connected to that is when I heard you talk about why we hide and what happens when we don't show up. So if you could talk about that, colors and...
I love to say that, black. So there's the myth of the little black dress, is what I call it, which happened many, many years ago when World War II hit and there was no fabrics, there was no production. You know, Coco Chanel came out with this black dress. And the reason why she came out with the black dress is because there wasn't anything else available. And everybody thought, oh, my God, it's Coco Chanel. It's all so chic. That's basically part of the history of the little black dress. And then we all expanded our lives and we all grew and, you know, we started to understand that in the transformational world or in the metaphysical world, black is the absence of color. Even in the color world, like in the artist world, black is the absence of color. There is no color in it. Yet we are all, as human beings, beings of color. There's nothing in nature that's black other than charcoal. And we are all flowers in God's garden. So the same source that created a tree and the smell in a baby's neck and the way your lover touches you and mountains and, you know, volcanoes, the same source created you. And so we are all beings of color with energy. And so when I say to my clients, look, just take your black and put it into a graveyard closet for a month. My friend Jack Canfield always says, he says, I can do anything for a month, Liana. So just put it away for a month. Go mourn it. Go visit it. Go take flowers to it. Just don't wear it, for heaven's sake.
And wear no black.
Wear your personal black, which is a color that you contain in your hair, your skin, or your eyes, taken to its darkest level. So if you have blue eyes, it's going to most probably be navy or teal. If you have chocolate brown hair, it's going to be chocolate brown. So espresso is your black. And I urge you to go in front of a mirror and have really good lighting and take a look at, put black on one shoulder and put chocolate brown on the other shoulder or navy on the other shoulder and look at the distinction of what happens to your skin. Black is unkind and harsh. It makes you look old and tired and drained. A color taken to its darkest level of a neutral, which is equivalent to black and classy, will always make you look amazing.
So what about colors in general, like other, just wearing color, how to think about beyond, so are you talking about always trying to sort of match something within our eyes, hair, skin tone, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the process of image therapy is based on a formula that I developed, you know, many, many years ago, where I realized that your masterpiece is made up of distinctions, certain distinctions. Some are tangible, that's who you are, who I am, who every human being is. And that those distinctions I called your essential formula. So it's like the blueprint of who you are. And there will never, ever in the entire universe or history of mankind be another one like you, because who you are is the tangible pieces of your hair, your skin, and your eye color.
Mm-hmm.
And all the colors in your skin, the tangibility of your body structure, which is your style architecture, your body architecture, Then there's the sound of your voice. I hear a little voice like this, and then you talk like that, and you talk really fast. Or you talk like that, and your voice is like that. Very different person.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean your looks have changed. So the way you move, your gait, the sound of your voice, the intensity of your gaze, and then the essence of your blueprint of who you are as a human being. Are you an introvert? Are you an extrovert? So that is your essential formula. And why is it so important? Because there'll never be another one like you who has those combinations, plus the shoulders upon who you stand, who came before you, plus the integrity which you've been given as a person, plus the things you've learned from your parents, plus all the things that have infiltrated your life and made you and created you to the masterpiece and the diamond that you are. There will never be another one like you. So then people say to me, but I have the same colors that you can wear, and I can wear those colors. So yes, you can wear those colors, but that doesn't mean that it's going to look the same on you. It doesn't mean that your essence is going to be expressed the same way.
So
everyone has their own blueprint, and all of that is learnable, but it's not going to be learnable over 1 week. These are, it's like practicing medicine. You practice image therapy. And so in my year-long program and in my classes and in my VIPs, and I mean, we have, you know, we have three-day workshops coming along. People could, they can go to lianasgifts.com and get videos and learn more. It's a learning process. You are a masterpiece the way you are, exactly the way you are. And the practice of showing up authentically to who you are is a process.
Yeah.
And that process is always in progress.
And it's baby steps a lot of times for us, right? Like getting, like cutting back on the black, or getting rid of the black, or, you know, buying this, or stepping out with a new bold piece of jewelry that feels right but is scary, or, you know, it's all those babies
that
add up.
So many people, I mean, when I say this black thing, look, I was speaking at a convention of 5,000 brides in Calgary. 5,000 brides in a room. I'm on stage and I'm delivering the keynote. And the second thing out of my mouth is, none of you should be wearing white. Do you know what happened in the room? It was like the roof was almost blown away.
You could hear a pin
and then
drop.
I gave them, and then, and it was like, oh my God. Everybody was like all up in arms. And I said, calm down, everybody. Let me teach you what I'm talking about. The truth is that just like black, too much white is all colors connected. And it's like if you wear a bright white dress, it'll show up like a light bulb under your face. And your face is not going to be visible. It's not kind. So either one of those is not kind. Black is not kind to your skin. Like harsh, harsh, harsh blue white is not kind to your skin either. Most people look great in a broken white, in a winter white, in a white that has a little bit of pink in it, a little bit of lilac in it, a little bit of green in it. And the thing is that this part of the education to really tell people, look, this doesn't work and here's why, is what I've spent the first 15 years of my life doing. It's like people don't know what they don't know that they don't know that they don't know that they don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so they keep doing something, and they don't know that it's not right. But then the minute you show it to them, like I'll speak in front of 2,000 people, and I'll say, look at the difference between this and this, and the whole room goes, oh, my God. But people are intelligent, and they're smart, and when you show them the distinction, and you say, hey, why don't you try this? And then just go out into the world and try it and call me and let me know what happened. And they go, oh, my God, people told me I look younger, I've lost weight, I look like I'm in love, I look like I got a facelift. And they go, yeah, wouldn't that be nice if your life was like that all the time and every single piece in your closet did that for you?
Yeah. Yeah, and that...
And it
that,
can!
and it can, is that what you said?
Yes. It's an education, Lana.
Yeah,
it's not like it's not there or this is only available to kings and queens or movie stars or, you know, we have made it. I mean, I've spent so many years doing this work and fine-tuning it that it's now available anyone in different degrees and different forms of access. And, you know, I have an online academy, a virtual style academy that people can go on and they can learn its components. They can do it from their own living room. They don't have to immediately get exposed to 200 people in a room or 60 people in a VIP group. I mean, there's different ways to do it. You know, come and ask questions.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, too, about your book. Does your book have sort of outline the essential formula?
My book is, this is my first book, and it is, they're all the stories on what people did with this work.
Oh,
so it's a book,
great.
Okay. Empowerment. It's a book, it's not a how-to book, because there's enough how-to books out there. And I'll tell you the truth of why a how-to book wouldn't work for me, Anna, because when you do transformational work, and so most of us are, those of us who are light workers are in the Transformational Council, and we all do our work in a different way. Jack Canfield does it with Success Principles. John Gray does it with, you know, women are from Venus, men are from Mars. You know, we all do it in a different way. So I happen to the key for me happens to be clothing, because it's your second skin. It's closer to you than your lover or your breastfeeding child. And the way that we do it is through practices. So when you say to me, Liana, can you give me a book on how to do this? I said, I can. But the truth is that being with it in a room, transformational, meaning where you're experiencing it in your body, that's the highest level. It's the highest level of learning. It has to do with neuro-linguistic programming. It has to do with taking an action, speaking a word, and for the synapses in your brains to change.
Mm-hmm.
So I love being with people in a room and having them create, recreate their brain structure as they're doing this work. Because it goes deep. It goes to between 4 and 5, between conception to 5, 6, 7 years old. You know, what did your mother say when you came out of the bedroom with her G-string on your head? Did she look at you forgivingly, or did she kiss you and say, oh my God, you're so creative? Or did she give you a disapproving look for 2 seconds where you made the decision in your brain, you said, oh my God, I can never be creative again. And you shut that part of you down.
Yeah,
I call it making contracts. We make contracts as children. You know, a 5-year-old doesn't know my mom's having a bad day because she didn't get laid last night. A 5-year-old says, I am bad.
Oh,
I
said
something, did something, and now I'm bad. And then we take that 5-year-old into the 50-year-old, and then we decide, oh, my God, I can't show anybody who I am. I'm too fat. I can't tell the world that I'm beautiful. I can't show the world that I'm beautiful. I have to hide myself, and I have to use my clothes to hide my body because I am not good enough. I am not beautiful enough. I'm not smart enough.
And that's, yeah, and what you had said about that was something about when we hide and we don't show up, then we can't, then there's no place to receive. And I loved that. If you could just elaborate on that a little bit, too.
Yes, I think that the world is a give and take. You know, it's like a bank account. I know.
Yeah.
If you put into a bank account, you need to take something out. It's giving and taking and giving and taking. And staying open to the world means, for most of us, because of the old paradigm that we have and the fear of our history, because we reach to the past and we bring into the present, into the present, and then we make decisions from that past in the present, and then it kind of screws up our future because we've already declared, I can never do this. I can never be beautiful. So my invitation to everyone listening to this is be in this moment with everything that you've experienced and everything that there is, and just let it be inclusive. And let it not mean anything, and step into a new possibility for tomorrow with anything and everything that you can imagine. And stay open to receiving what's going to come.
Even if it's scary. Yeah, I was going to say, even if it's
scary. It's going to be scary. You know
it's
why?
It's going to be scary, right.
It's going to be scary. Here's why it's going to be scary. Because you've never experienced it.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? And that's how it is. You eat a new piece of food. You have a new experience. You walk on a high wire. You make a big offer to the world. You say, I love you first. And he doesn't say it back. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But that's like you were saying.
It doesn't matter.
No, it's laying down new tracks, right?
Right.
It's laying down new tracks.
And not only are you laying down new tracks for yourself, but by laying down new tracks and stepping into the unknown, you're being a beacon of possibility for the people around you, for your children, for your husband, for your friend, for your community. You can go from that ripple effect of being the pebble and the one ripple right around you, and then there's another ripple, and then it can expand all the way into the world. Look, when I wrote this book, you know, and I'm a public speaker and I'm a singer and I don't have any problem getting up on the table in the middle of the restaurant and saying, hey, everybody, listen here. I got something to share about image therapy. I don't have any problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really freaked out about putting something out there for posterity in writing on a Kindle. I didn't know who was going to read it. You know, it was very comfortable for me to be in a room in front of 1,000 people and take off my clothes. I had no problem with that. And say, look, I don't have a perfect body. But tell me to put something in writing for the world to see, oh, my God, some person in Israel is going to read my book, and then I get an email. We got so many emails. It made bestseller on June 21st on the summer solstice. It made bestseller in two categories, in fashion and beauty and in self-help. And I was over the moon.
That's so great, yeah.
I was, like, over the moon. And this woman writes me, and she says, I was so moved by your book that I'm buying it for four. I have four daughters, and they're all going to get the book. I'm buying them the book on Kindle. And that's what propelled me to make the book available at 99 cents so that anyone and everyone in the world gets to read it.
Yeah.
And it stayed at 99 cents because I want the whole world to read it. I want everyone to find themselves in one of the stories and for them to be empowered, even if it's just one amazing thought that they hold in their heart, then I've done my job.
And that was your edge, you know, that was your edge, and look how many ripples and it will continue to ripple, right? So, and that's actually a perfect segue because from your book and sharing people's stories, I would actually love it. I was going to ask if you would share a couple of stories in terms of inner transformation from this work and how it affected their relationships and their lives.
Well, there's a ton of stories in the book, and I think that, you know, there's a few stories that always come up, and I think that the chunks of the stories, you know, the way that the stories unfold, I wasn't even privy to in the beginning, because when I decided to call this image therapy and decided to put the two domains together, I wasn't a therapist. Now I'm a certified hypnotherapist, and I'm not a licensed psychologist, but I'm a hypnotherapist.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, when the story that I'm about to tell you, when that happened, I was really shocked by the depth of this work. I knew that this work is very, very deep and laser sharp, but I didn't realize how in the second transformational it has the possibility of being. So I had a woman that was part of an event, and she came up to me and she said, I want to work with you one-on-one. And this is like 20 years ago. And I looked at her and I said, I'd love to work with you, but your hair is purple. She said, yeah, you like it? I just thought it done. I said, it looks really beautiful, but you don't have any silver under there. Why are you dyeing your hair purple? She was about 45 years old, and she was very, very, very overweight, just in the middle of her belly. Her body was like an apple. Skinny legs, skinny arms, really heavy in the middle. And she said, oh, I've been dyeing my hair since I was 12. I don't even know what my hair color is, which for me as an image therapist is like a big flag. And I said, well, if you want to work with me, then you're going to have to let your hair grow out. And she said, oh, my God, I don't want to do that. I hate my hair color. That was another red flag.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a long time in between. I said, I'm not the right person for her. She said, oh, but I'll take your card anyway. I said, okay, if you change your mind, call me. And she called me after 3 months, and she told me that she had let her hair grow out and that she hated her hair color, which was chocolate brown. Now, you have to understand, this woman was like warm, very Middle Eastern Mexican coloring, mocha skin, brown eyes, brown hair, soft, really gorgeous, beautiful, velvety sounding skin and voice. And then her whole wardrobe looked like a true bright color Mexican fiesta. So there was complete opposite ends of the spectrum. One was all color primary, and the other one was all muted and mocha. And so she was the mocha, and then her coloring in her wardrobe was all pure and walked in a half an hour before she did. Wasn't the right thing. So I said to her, please take pictures of your home, and when you come to your session, bring those pictures with you. Because what I know as an image therapist is that we do a really great job of it in our home and in the colors that we pick in our home. But when it comes to our bodies, we usually try to hide if we have a good reason to hide ourselves. And she did. She had a big reason to hide who she really is. Because when someone says, I hate my hair color, for me, that's a big sign. So she's sitting in my office. I hold up chocolate brown, that's her hair color, and she has a major, vehement, visceral reaction to the brown color. And she starts shaking and screaming, and she's on the ground. And you have to remember, this was 20 years ago, when I knew that this work is very, very deeply committed to the human being and to the essence that's inside a person, and it is able to unlock who you are in a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically fell to the ground. She's screaming and yelling, I hate this color. It's the color of poop. I don't like it. I hate it. And I said, sweetheart, tell me, I'm looking at this and thinking of a chocolate fudge brownie, and you're thinking, you know, of poop.
Uh-huh.
And she finally was on the floor beating her hands and feet up against, and she's screaming and yelling, and she says, I can't stand this color. It's the color of the carpet my father raped me on.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So he would assault her from behind and shove her face into this brown shag carpet. And when she was 12 and, you know, became a woman and she was reminded of it every month, she would look in the mirror and he would stop touching her because he was afraid that she was going to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And she started dying. She started over-dyeing the brown, which reminded her of the brown shag carpet. She had short, curly hair, which looked exactly like the brown shag carpet. And
wow.
She had been doing that since she was 12. And she's now 45, heavily overweight in the middle to protect her body from the pain.
Yeah.
And she said, she's sitting on the floor. I'm hugging her. I'm holding her. And I said, sweetheart, you know, tell me what you see. And she told me what she saw. And then when she started to become normal or started to calm down again, she said, you know, Liana, I've been in therapy for 25 years and nobody has ever gotten to this.
Wow.
She said, I knew something was bothering me and I didn't know what it was. So, Lena, when I tell you that dressing is an embodied action and we carry the armor inside our heart and inside our closet and put it on ourselves to hide, this is how one of them shows up.
Yeah. That's a powerful story.
It's a very powerful story, or a story that I had a really gorgeous size 2 beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous woman stand inside my office at the end of her day with me. She's put on a dress. I go out to get her a glass of water. I come back, and she's standing in front of the mirror sobbing. And I said to her, why are you crying? And she says, Liana, I'm standing here 6 feet away from this image in the mirror, and I cannot believe that me standing here, that is my reflection. I cannot believe that that's my reflection. I cannot be that beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I have another client. She was actually in yesterday. It's wow. I Dr. Tammy, she's in Seattle, and she wouldn't mind me using her name. She came in, she had her transformation. It was so magnificent. And from the airport, she calls me. She says, Liana, you didn't tell me that it was going to be like this. Everybody's stopping me and telling me how beautiful I am. What did you do to me? Why didn't you tell me it was going to be like this? If you would have told me that, I would have never done this. I'm like, shut up and say thank you. I received that.
Yeah, it's her time to receive. Yeah, I guess she was ready on some level, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are powerful stories. And the first woman, just as a follow-up, but then, you know, after that experience, did she, you know?
Yes, I'll tell you what the follow-up was. That's a great, great question. So the follow-up to that story is she got herself together. We looked at the pictures. I said to her, Mary, take out your pictures from your home that I asked you to bring. And everything was copper and olive green and chocolate brown and plush. It didn't look at all like her wardrobe. So we gave her a new wardrobe. Everything was in these beautiful autumn colors and Byzantine jewel tones. And she went home. We checked in again 6 months later. She had lost 40 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. And we checked in another 6 months later. She had lost 100 pounds altogether. No dieting. Oh. The only thing she was practicing is to practice self-honoring and staying true to what's present in her body. See, a lot of this work has to do with being embodied, meaning really feeling the insides of your eyelids as to what your body is telling you. You know, our bodies are not just a contraption to carry our brains around. Our bodies give us vital information.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't listen.
No, we're on autopilot a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
We're really on autopilot, just eating habitually and eating because it's 12 and not because we're hungry or, you know.
Right. Being with people we don't want to be with, even though they're abusing us.
Right.
Listening to people we shouldn't be listening to. Not honoring ourselves. Wearing dirty T-shirts or things that are way too big or way too small that hide us.
Yeah,
that's actually a true story. You're asking me about stories. I was in a closet, and I pull out this T-shirt, and I say to my client, what on earth is this? And she goes, Liana, that's just something I wear around the house. So cut back an hour earlier. I walk into her house, and she says, I'm not having a good day. You know, my husband and I are having a really difficult time. We haven't made love in a year, blah, blah. So she's telling me all this. And I said, sweetheart, let's find out what's going on. Find out what it is. Why are you shutting down? And so cut to later, I'm in her closet. I pull out this T-shirt and I say to her, what is this? And she goes, this is something I wear around the house. And I say, around the house, around your husband? And she says, it's just my husband. And I said, honey, do you want me to really remind you why you haven't made love to your husband in a year? You are a delicious, gorgeous, beautiful, amazing woman. How'd you like it if your husband threw a ring or a gift into a paper bag and threw it at your feet? Is that the way you present a gift to someone you love? You are his gift. Wrap yourself up in gorgeousness to honor and reflect who you are. Not in a dirty T-shirt with torn edges and baby puke all over it.
Yeah, you know, the way that you talk about this is, it's so, the language that you use and the metaphors, it's so inspiring, really. I didn't realize it was going to be this, you know, it could quite go in this direction, because I had more, you know, I had some other types of questions, but I'm so pleased that it's gone into this place of self-love and worth and elevation and it really an inspiration. You know,
it is that's exactly what it is. And most people think, she's an image consultant. She's going to come and talk to us about clothes. And 5 minutes into it, most of us are crying because we're so moved by one another's stories and difficulties.
Yeah.
And half an hour into it, we're all uplifted. Because I swear to you, Lena, I go to people on the street and I go, let me help you. It doesn't have to be like this. As the ambulance goes by. Help is on the way.
Yeah, help is on the way.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. We just have a few minutes left, so
I
don't know.
We could do this again. This could be part one.
Yeah, this could definitely be part one. No, I mean, I knew it was deep. I knew from reading about your work and everything that your approach was very heart-centered and everything, but I didn't quite realize. I mean, it was just beautiful the way it unfolded anyway, so thank you. I'm really pleased for what you've brought to share with everyone.
Very welcome.
Yeah, and I just wonder now if there's anything, any final thoughts on this topic or anything that we haven't covered that you want to share for part one?
Oh, there's a lot. Of course there's a lot. You know, this is a practice, and it's a daily practice. And the reason why I changed my work around to make this a year-long program, and it's entitled, you know, a style sanctuary, which is, it's sanctuary, you know? The practice of honoring yourself on a daily basis gets reflected everywhere in our lives. So don't drink from a plastic cup. If you buy one cup and you drink out of a crystal glass, then do that. Go to a secondhand store, go to the Cancer Discovery, and go find yourself a really beautiful glass. Because you are a beautiful masterpiece and you deserve the most beautiful things on a daily basis. And that's not to say that it has to be expensive, or it's not to say that you have to go out of your way. But every single piece that we put our hands on, you know, from our friends to our lovers to the cup that you use, to the toothbrush that you use, to the linens and computer, anything that touches you should be a source of joy and honoring.
Well, that's a beautiful way to look at it. Yeah, and I think something a lot of us don't really think matters that much. You know what I mean? To the point, but then when I hear you talk about it in the way of everything is a reflection or everything touches us, and it's a relationship with everything in our world, right?
Everything.
People, objects, everything. Yeah, yeah.
Everything. The way, look, if we, and I say this because I'm conscious of being in America. You know, I was born and raised in Germany. My parents are Persian. And so I come from a culture that is very honoring. Okay? It's mm-hmm. it's honoring and it's respectful. My parents are Jews, so I have a very strong Kabbalistic background. And the understanding that you could do something in mediocrity is painful for me. You know, it's painful. It doesn't mean that there has to be perfection, but this not being perfect. Here, I'll give you an example. I don't need anything, and I have everything I need. Mean exactly the same thing. One, I don't need anything, comes from contraction and living life from a small space of lack. And I have everything I need comes from a place of expansion and possibility and from a place of bigness, of space.
Yeah.
So when I make do with a styrofoam cup that is so bad for me, for the universe, for the environment, for the lack of air that we breathe, then, I mean, I have this ripple effect, and I go, really? Is this really what I want to be doing? I don't want to do that. I went into a Pete's the other day, and I took my own beautiful mug, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy knows me, and he goes, Liana, you know, every time you come in here, you have another idea, and it's really great to witness you. And this, here's this big, beautiful mug from Europe. It's China and porcelain, and, you know, they all know me, that. And I say, yeah. A, I love drinking from it. And B, I'm saving a paper cup.
Yeah.
Why not do that?
You know, yeah.